Europe and India and Nepal. In Tibetan culture or ancient Indian culture, if someone wants to become poet, study is not enough. First thing, you have to receive the transmission, the textbooks, transmission from the lineage gurus, kind of like Dharma. The 13th century, one Tibetan great translator called Shungtun Lodzawa Dorji Gyatson, the student of Drogon Chujupapa, one of the Sakyapa's five founder Lama, Chujupapa's student called Shung Lodzawa, great translator. He translated the Indian, the poetry, how called the text, into Tibetan, 13th century, during the 13th century. Before this text translated, we have the culture or custom learn poetry, but we don't have the original text. So before this text, many other Kadamba Lamas, Sajab great Lamas, especially Sajapantita, so many great poets, But later, after the text translated into Tibetan, then study or learn poem or poetry is common, become common. Mostly in monastery, those monks. And then ancient Tibet, there's only few schools, some for the nobles, some for the lower class. But we don't have public school. So most of those poets come from monastery or the noble family. There's so many great poets. And first you have to receive the transmission, the text transmission from your guru or your teacher. And then you have to learn with this teacher. There's, I think, over 300 verses. You should write page, the example, or how to say, make a copy, copy. Right? Then you should learn how to call it in English? In Tibetan, we call it Munjul. Munjul, the original person.
Munjul. The words of the same meaning, I don't know what you call. Different words having the same meaning,
Similarly. Okay, something like that, The one famous text also translated into Tibetan from Sanskrit or called Munju Chimindu, I think Amarakosha. Because in this text there's for example, the sun has over 200 names. And the moon has around 100 names. You have to learn all of them. Because in ancient poetries, they use those different names. If you don't know the name, what the name meaning, you don't know what the meaning. Because so many different names. Most of those names came from the Hindu, the god or goddesses stories, Hindu stories. We call Tajamchan, means which has green horse. This means the sun. In Hindu story, the sun is like a god, and he has seven green horses. So we call Tajamchan has green horse. Sometimes we call Tadam Dabu, the owner of seven horses. The owner of seven horses. This man is also the sun. And the moon is something that they call with a rabbit or which has rabbit. This man is moon. Like the ancient Indian and Chinese culture, they believe all the moon has a rabbit. Look like a rabbit. the shadow looks the rabbit. So you have to learn those names too. It's very difficult to become a poet. That's not enough. Indian or Tibetans believe if someone wants to become a poet, you should have your like special deity or god, like, you know, the wisdom deity. In Indian, like ancient time, most they pray for like Kali or Saraswati, most Saraswati. The goddesses play the guitar, or, you know, Saraswati. It's the goddesses of the poets. So then the custom come to Tibet. So every those poets, they pray, not only pray, they receive the empowerment or initiation of Saraswati from the guru, then do the retreat. Several months or 1 month or a couple of weeks. Then recite the mantra or pray, you know, every day. Because we want to, you know, this person want to become poet. And we believe the Saraswati, the goddesses, gave us the wisdom, especially the poet wisdom, became, you know, poetry. Like Tsongkhapa, in his story says, he prayed for the Saraswati for many years. Finally, he has the vision, yeah, of Saraswati. Then he became very well in the poet. And the other master, this master is almost who has the more composition or, you know, those things. He wrote 140 books. 140 books. He got this kind of wisdom, this kind of wisdom, you know, from the Saraswati. Bodong Panchen, we call Bodong Panchen. He wrote so many books. Sometimes people believe he's the number one, the, you know, author who has, you know, so many books. He wrote 140 books. This Tibetan, he's a great poet. And like Sajja Pandita, many poets came from like monastery. And later, the seventh Dalai Lama's time, some Tibetan governors, also great poets. Like myself, since when I was, you know, young boy, several books influenced me. Like the sixth Dalai Lama's The Love Song. Sixth Dalai Lama wrote, you know, very beautiful love song. Because he gave up when he was, I think, 18 or maybe 17 or 18, he gave up the monk's vow. So since then he wrote so many beautiful love songs, very famous until now. The Sikh Dalai Lama's love is so beautiful. Like one, the, you know, the love song says, in Tibetan, so la jamba tsavi thoran kha pavsh, sang tang ma sang mandik shabji kang la shaks. So beautiful. Last night, I went to my girlfriend's house. That time he was in Podala Palace. By the night, he go down the village, you know, to his girlfriend's house. So last night, I went to my girlfriend's house. The middle night snowed. So I cannot hide my secret because I left my, you know, footprint on the snow. Beautiful. You can imagine, you know. Those kinds, so beautiful poets. And another book, there's so many books about King Kesar. Have you heard King Kesar? Okay, very famous story. Like in Indian culture, they call Mahabharata. Have you heard Mahabharata? It's the King Kesar's story is the longest story in the world. It has over 300 books. It's more common, more books coming. Not only one author, from like 10th century to until now. It's amazing. It's so beautiful. This story, but this it's poetry. Beautiful, beautiful. So many authors. We can author or not. It's kind of like a, you know, they, those authors receive some special wisdom from the King Kesar. And sometimes when they were like 12 or 13 years old, they had dream, very deep dream, sometimes for 7 days, just continually dreaming, sleeping, dreaming. Nobody can, you know, wake up them up. Just very deep dream. In that, in their dream, they like, they had the vision, yeah, the war, the warriors, their song. Then after they woke up, they can tell the stories, like over hundreds of different stories. Each story has like 100 pages or 150 pages. So one person can tell over 100 different, this kind of stories. It's amazing. Not like this, the you know, the authors make the, you know, the like novels, not like that. It's by the spiritual things. It's amazing. So still there's more those, the author or Viko Tirtan, the King Kesar's, the storytellers, still in Tibet. Most men, and then also there's a woman too, very famous, some famous woman, the storyteller. Most of their story, almost same, when they were like young, like 13, 14, had long dream. After dream, then they can tell. So then, many of them, you know, they wrote down, and many of them, they tell, then others, you know, write down. Many of them, they cannot read, even though they cannot read, you know, they never went to school, they never learned how to read and write, but they can tell the story, different stories. So those books influenced me a lot. And some Chinese poets, so beautiful. Especially the poetry from Tang Dynasty, you know, Tang, like 6th century, 7th century. There's great, you know, poets from the Tang Dynasty, very famous. They call Li Bei, Song Po, there's some, very famous. It's amazing. So when I was in the monastery, I spend like half day for, you know, write the poetry and read the other's poetry, and half day for memorize or go to class and learn the Dharma. Since I was 16 years old, I never gave up, especially when I was in southern India. In Indian culture, most famous poets came from southern India. There's like there's energy from the southern India. If you, you know, go there, especially if you're a poet, you know, there's energy. Naturally, you want to write something, especially in the morning and the evening. Great, great. It's totally different. Like, Nepal, also in Tibet, southern India, there's something. Also in the ancient, the Indian culture, they believe the Saraswati, the, you know, the goddesses of poet, she lives in the southern India, the in the southern Indian Ocean. So it's true or not, like I feel, you know, I have this kind of feeling, this energy. So when I was there, almost every day I would, then later I published several books about my poem. And then the magazines, newspapers in Tibet, China, India, Nepal, they publish, you know, my articles and poetry. Still,
you know, continually I write the poem.
This time not like pen and paper.
You know.
iPad.
Yeah. It's very difficult now. Even just one page, you know, one page is difficult. Totally, you know, my fingers like.
Yeah, it's hard to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really like to, you know, write poetry. It's my life. Like my brain is 50-50. Half totally, you know, those kind of article, you know, those, you know, poem or short story and those things. Half, yes, the Dharma or spiritual or meditation. So, yeah, my life is wonderful because of my poetry. Very happy.
Do you feel the poetry energy in Seattle?
Yes. Yes. Because of the mountains,
oh, yeah,
the ocean,
yeah,
and the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, then the sunshine after the rain. It's amazing. And the leaves in the autumn.
Oh, yeah.
The leaves change. Oh, it's amazing. It's a dream. Yeah. It's a dream country. Also, like the Alaska to Homer,
yeah,
the best place. It's poem. You know, the Homer itself is poem. It's poem. For me, it's amazing. So I'm going to there next Friday. So again, so I, you know, because I have to renew the energy. Yeah. And like this Jewel text, this is beautiful poetry. You know, very beautiful in English. Already I translated, you know, with my tutor, you know, he translated this into English. You know. When people read, they say, oh, this is amazing. So beautiful. I hope you can, you know, one day you can practice the jut. And traditionally when people practice jut, first, yes, we receive the empowerment from guru and the teaching, transmission. Then you should practice your home and some special places, like cemetery, where's the bones, bodies, demons, ghosts, and like a beach between the earth and ocean, like, you know, the beach. Not only those places in the night, in the dark. Traditionally, we have to memorize the whole text. Otherwise, you know, you cannot practice in the dark. Especially those places, you cannot, you know, bring your, you know, how to say, the flesh and ghosts. You cannot. Then the ghost run away. Just slow, you know, go there, then practice. In the Jhul Sadhana, you visualize your body is like a universe. Nectar, universe, nectar, not like flesh or bone. The universe, nectar. Then first you offer the, you know, the deities, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Jagat, Jaginis. Then you give for those demons, ghosts, hungry ghosts, all sentient beings. It's a beautiful practice. Beautiful practice. In Seattle, sometimes we go to the cemetery, then practice. Feel totally different. There's no body in one, but this, how do you call the stone, what do we call
tombstone.
Yeah, I visualize each of them, you know, like a dead body or, you know, ghost or demon or spirit. Then I visualize, I give my everything, my body, blood, bone, my, you know, the merit, the virtuous, the, you know, positive energy, whole thing give them. This kind of, it's important. Traditionally, both, you know, lay practitioners or monk or nun, especially in the Amdo, my region, Jhul is a very popular practice. Thank you.